Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. So given nature, according to Adam, that we are always looking around. Our eyes are rarely at rest. Our bodies are forever moving. Our minds are constantly spinning. We often find ourselves, especially in our 21st century, just running to catch ourselves. Like the disciples, we are moving from one thing to another at such a frantic pace that we don't even have the leisure to eat. But why? What is it that we are looking for? What is it that we seek? And what do we need? It all seems like a blur, and you don't really know at times unless you are taught and catechized. You do know need itself, the word need, because you hunger and you thirst. And not only for food and drink, clothing and shoes, shelter, but what else? What peace and rest do you long for? And why does it seem so elusive, so fleeting, so impossible? You are created for life with God, with His Son, the Christ. And apart from Him, you will never be satisfied. You will never have lasting rest or peace. For until you hear His voice and are fed by His food, you will meander until death in this desolate and sinful world. For I often wonder, not just simply because I'm a pastor and I work at the church and this is my job, or my vocation, but even with my sinful flesh, just as much as your sinful flesh, I wonder what keeps us from God and His gifts. I wonder what keeps us giving Him the stiff arm, or giving Him the brush off, or slamming the door in His face. On one level, it is quite simple, and we all know the answer. Sin. Satan and sin. It's our own sin and Satan stoking that sinful flesh of ours that keeps us turning away from His gifts and away from Him. But on a whole nother level, we realize that sin is complicated. That it's twisted, that it's a web of deceit and lies, and it's shameful, and it's cover-ups. And all of that leads us into this dark night of the soul's anguish, and we distrust Him who is that bread of life. Now the apostles, they knew it was getting late, and the crowds that were following them and Jesus, they knew that it was getting late. And you know that it's getting late. For as we say, the day is almost over. And so your stomach growls and your heart aches and your soul perhaps is lost. And then you reach down into your pocket for some money to buy some food to take the edge off. But alas, you're in a desolate place. Your pocket is empty. And you weep that you don't even have the means to make ends meet, not even for a single day. For you cannot feed yourself. But then Jesus comes along aside the shore, and He sees you, and He knows your need even before you bend your knees and your lips beg of His food. He has mercy, He has compassion. From His very guts, He has a desire to care for you. For you must know that your Creator does far more than create you. He sustains you completely with Himself. His life, His love, his food. It's not limited to Genesis 1 and 2. For day by day, as the sun rises and as it sets, as the moon and the stars gleam in the dark night, as your weary eyes look to him and your parched mouth opens before his hand, indeed, as the psalmist says, he gives you his food in due season. The triune God, he satisfies the desire of every living thing, we confess. But we also know that for us, his hand is far more abundant. It's super abundant. For his eyes never look away, and he can never stoop too low to reach us. His love never runs cold, and we are his children, flesh of his flesh, sons of his son. Yes, even father and mother may forget me. Even the world and my friends and all sorts of people may leave me behind. But thus says the Lord of hosts, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. And the divine compassion of Jesus this day is not merely an emotion of pity. He's not just saying, oh, look at those poor people who can't feed themselves. They're so lost. They really need to get it together. No, his compassion is an active care that goes and a concern that springs from his very heart to comfort his sheep that are without a shepherd. And so he gathers you to himself. He suffers with you and for you. He takes his sin, he takes your sin upon him. He suffers the due penalty of your sin on a wooden cross on that mournful mountain high. He lays down his life for you, the wayward and bleating sheep. And he gives his life for you. We say that Jesus is the Passover lamb. He is the scapegoat of the entire flock, the black sheep. But not only does he remove your burdens from you, but he feeds you with himself, his sacrificial body and blood. And so by this feeding, he fills the deepest holes and the most significant emptiness within you. And how does he do this? It's so simple, and yet it's so beyond our thought and our fantasy that we often miss it. He takes bread, he blesses it, he gives thanks, he breaks it, he gives it to his disciples, and they give it to the people to eat. There it is. That's it. There's the entire life of the Christian's life right there. There's nothing lacking here. Notice they were all satisfied. Jesus, the bread of life, provides for all your needs, for the entire church's needs in all times and in all places. And so we have this progression. This day of the five loaves and the two fish foreshadows the night of betrayal when Jesus feeds his disciples in the upper room. And then the night of that last words and that last supper foreshadows this very day upon which you eat the Lamb's body and blood for the arduous journey of life in this sinful and desolate world. And then this day's eating of the supper foreshadows an even greater day, an eternal guarantee of your homecoming at a seat within the Lamb's high feast that is holy and heavenly. Here then is the picture, the reality of the church. For what is the church's one foundation? You just sang it. It's his baptism. It's his body and his blood. It's his gifts, graciously given, graciously received. For here is Jesus, the bread of life, in our midst. And here we are, weary and restless beggars. Here is the good shepherd who cares and provides for his church. And so what shall we say and what shall we do? How many loaves do you have, Jesus? Is it not enough to do what the Lord has given us to do? Do not suppose that you will ever be able to make ends meet by yourself. You can't and you won't. Why? Because you will run out of money. You will run out of food. You will run out of energy. And you will run out of time. And so his supper is not the Jewish Passover. It's not a command. It's a pure gift. Jesus wants absolutely no part in dragging you up to his supper. He seeks hearts that are broken, a soul that knows it's gone astray, and a body that is breaking under this terminal life. He draws you forth not out of guilt or obligation, but by proclamation. Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. You see, going to the sacrament of the altar has everything to do with one's need. And so we crawl, we hobble, we limp, we use a cane, we use a walker, maybe even we run and we skip to the supper. All so that we would be relieved of our burdens and our guilty conscience, our covetous flesh, of our turmoil with our family and our friends, of our sicknesses and our deathly perils. Bear in mind that the Lord's Supper is not some sort of patch that we apply to our earthly problems and then all of a sudden they disappear. Some sort of magical potion that makes us impervious to suffering and hurt. We rather go to the supper precisely because we sin, and precisely because we suffer, and because we hurt. Because as we know, your devil, as Luther says, does not rest. The world and the flesh do not take a break either. Sins of 100,000 different kinds and death position themselves all around you. All manner of stones, water, fire are full of death. Every moment, each and every bite, drink, path, and footstep are a danger to your life. Wife, child, and you yourself are in the danger of death with all manner of misdirections and sins every moment. Where shall you go? To Christ, to his supper. For just as the threats of this physical life are real, so equally are Christ's supper and his sacramental gift real. So don't be dismayed. Don't lose heart. For the Lamb, Jesus, is still moved with compassion this day for you, his dear little sheep. He provides for you all the things that you need to support this body and life, and he gives you things that you would never imagine that he would give to you. And so continue in your vocations as fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, husbands, wives, single, widowed, all of them. Continue in all of your vocations with the confidence that you have the mercy and grace of this Jesus. And know that you are to take each day according to his word and live it according to his word. But for now, you are to come away with Jesus. You are to come away from your work and to rest a while. This is the Sabbath, after all. This isn't R&R. This is God's holy Sabbath, his rest for you. And so you are to find your place aboard the boat with Jesus, his disciples, which, by the way, in the ancient church was the holy ark of the church. And you are to recline and you are to rest in this peace of Christ from the hearing of his word. And you are to breathe deeply that today his body and blood has come to you and you are satisfied, fully satisfied. And because of that, you can stop looking around. Your eyes can rest, your body can relax, your mind can be at ease. Why? Because in the supper you have gained the greatest gift that God gives to his people, his incorruptible life. So it was for Luther, and so it is for you, that the supper is a provision and a comfort for the journey of life. It is, as he says even more, a ford, a bridge, a door, a ship, and my favorite, a stretcher, in which and through which we travel from this world unto eternal life. So as we pray and we eat, so we eat, and so we pray and beg unto our dear Heavenly Father. Feed thy children, God most holy. Comfort sinners poor and lowly. O thou bread of life from heaven, bless here the food thou hast given. For as these gifts the body nourish, and may our soul and graces flourish, till with saints in heavenly splendor, at thy feast do thanks we render. It's one verse, but it's a hymn for our table at home, and a hymn for our table here in God's home. It's a hymn for our bedside, and it's a hymn for our graveside. It's a hymn for our neighbor whom we love, and a hymn that joins us together as one. It's a hymn for all seasons of life, whether in day or in night. For Jesus feeds you through all the seasons of life until the blessed repose of that eternal life he gives you this day. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.